I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Welcome to TBGWT, America Through the Eyes of Two African-American Americans. Now, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and Karen. Say what's up to everybody.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, that's how I like it said again.
What's up, everybody?
All right, man. Well, we're back for another week. Thanks for all the feedback, you guys, on Twitter. And we got a couple of reviews on iTunes. Really appreciating all the love you guys are getting. And
yeah, we do.
Thanks for sharing the show with tell your friends and spread the word, man. Thanks for retweeting us and continuing to help the show grow. Let's get right into it, man. Seems like Charles Barkley really accepted that he's fat now.
Oh, yeah.
And all his commercials lately have been about being fat and lazy. It's kind of weird.
And about food. Yeah. And that $5 box is off the chain, y'all.
I haven't had one, but that, I mean, that one face he makes after the cheerleaders come, man, that's really, really like he just saying, you know, I'm fat. Check me out.
Yeah, embrace it. I mean, master of love, your skin, you in.
I guess so, man. If you can make money off that hustle, it just come a long way from the guy who said I'm not a role model and all that stuff. But
that's true.
I really think I'm going to have to take him off of my list of favorite players. And I'm going to skip over him and go from Michael Jordan to Jason Kidd without mentioning Charles Barkley anymore.
Wow, you can't erase the work he's done. You can't just mock him off your list.
I don't think kids will understand today if I told them how good Charles Barkley used to be.
Yes, he used to be a beast now. I ain't even going to lie.
If I told them he was intimidating and the scariest player in the league at one point, they'd just laugh at me and go,
they were like, yeah, that fat bald dude on TNT?
Yeah. The nigga with the fight off a box. Nah, so I'm done with Charles. I'm sorry. From now on, I only refer to his analyst days.
I still like Chuck.
I was on Twitter and I said, I don't like when people say that they don't approve of interracial dating. Because they act like there's a form or some sort of test or some vote. Is there a secret vote that's going to take place that we all have to acknowledge whether or not we give a fuck about this?
Cause, a survey?
Yeah, no, I don't care. I don't care about
anybody's
life that don't affect mine. I don't care what you do in the house, in your privacy, in your home. It just doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me about interracial dating is sometimes when you out with your black woman and you'll see an interracial couple, you know, walking down the street, and they just stare at you, and then they'll be like, no, he didn't, and stuff like that.
When I tell people it does not bother me at all.
Yeah, I just wish they would stop judging me for being not in an interracial relationship. I mean, you do your thing and leave me alone, because y'all ice grill us when I'm out at the movies. I see y'all staring at me like, I know you didn't just go get you a black woman, you know, betraying everybody. So I don't appreciate that shit. Another thing, I was listening to the Game Informer podcast. It's, Game Informer is the magazine I get that reviews video games. It gives you like all kinds of nerdy information that I use to entertain myself. So I was listening to their podcast, which is pretty cool. And they were talking about this review of Dante's Inferno, Dante's Inferno is a game that's coming out for Xbox that I think looks real dope. It looks kind of like God of War. But they gave it like a 7 or 8 out of 10, something like that.
Okay.
But the entire podcast was really them talking about the negatives of the game and not really what it did well.
Okay.
So they spent a lot of time, and maybe because they were trying to justify why they didn't give it a 10.
That's probably true. Yeah.
So they weren't really explaining why they gave it a 7. They were more saying like, this is why it didn't get a 10.
Yeah, this is why it wasn't perfect.
And it really made me think, you know, reviews for movies, whatever type of entertainment, most of it is about the tone of the review, not the actual review.
That's true.
Or the score.
That's right.
It's almost like the coward's way out to throw the score in there at the end, because technically, if you asked me about a movie, you said, you know, what did you think about, I don't know, just ask me about a movie. You name the movie.
Toy Story 2.
All right, what did you think about Toy Story 2? All right, I go, well, you know, the animation was really just the same as the first one. The story, it was kind of, it was a little better. Spent a little more time with the spaceman, but I prefer the story with Tom Hanks as the cowboy. I didn't really think the potato heads were that great, so I didn't know. Halfway through the movie, I had lost track of the plot, and I had to pee, and I was ready to go, and I was already late for something else, but, you know, I gave it a 9 out of 10, but, you know, it was, you know, that was all I could give it was a 9 out of 10.
Terrible review.
Now, see, I gave it a 9 out of 10,
but
so.
But still, the way you talked about it sounded like it was horrible.
Yeah, it's the tone of the review. I think people get caught up in the tone and not the score. So I think if you score something highly, you should also have to phrase your review of it highly.
That's true.
So if you're going to say Mobb Deep had a classic album with the Infamous, then you can't turn around and say, I talk about the 3 tracks that you hate and ignore the 12 tracks that you like. You have to, you know, you have to kind of go into why you love it so much. So anyway, I just thought about that. Tone of reviews is like really overlooked, but it's the most important part about a review. Also, I found out today on CNN that there were no, they dropped the civil charges against those cops that shot Sean Bell.
Yeah, I heard about that earlier today. That's nuts.
A lot of people don't know who Sean Bell is. Sean Bell was a guy who was, I think he was just hours away from going to his wedding.
He was.
And leaving his bachelor party or something.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his friends got into an altercation with some undercover police or something like that. And the police shot up their car 50 like
50 times.
Yeah, over 50 times. Yeah, one officer himself shot 50 times. I had to like reload. And
they were unarmed, and I mean, and race has nothing to do with it, just for the fact that they opened up, let's say one officer was 50 times, so let's say altogether, depending on how many officers, 75 to 100 bullets were shot at 2 unarmed people.
Yeah.
And then it went to court, and the court says, well, we don't have anything, they acquitted them of manslaughter. And so then the family went back, and the family turned around and did the civil suit. Then they turned around and they said, well, we're not going to honor that either. Yeah. And the thing that upsets me about it has nothing to do with color. It's the justice here. It's like, it makes me scared that if I turn around and something happened and you shoot me 50 times, y'all going to say the police is right no matter what.
Yeah, they dropped the criminal charges earlier, and then, you know, but you think, like, civil court, you actually have less burden of proof.
Uh-huh.
So, whenever they drop the actual civil charges, it basically nothing's going to happen.
Nope.
So, it was kind of disheartening, and it made me think about how much controversy we've had locally over that one police officer.
Yes.
And a lot of the alleged finger pointing. A lot of finger pointing in this incident has come down to people saying, well, the reason that this officer, who was black, was even hired was because they lowered the standards because of affirmative action or because they wanted to get more black candidates into police uniforms. So they lowered the standards, and this would have never happened if they hadn't done that. And it made me think, like, when those same people defend, like, you know, the officer who arrested Skip Gates, or they defend, this is before knowing all the facts, or they defend, you know, what happened with Sean Bell, or they just say that's unfortunate or whatever, and they don't have that same level of outrage, it makes me feel like they're saying, well, a certain level of suspicion and mistakes and profiling targeted towards black individuals is acceptable.
Yeah.
And yeah, but if it would have happened, if it was a black police officer doing it to somebody else, well, the system failed. He should have never been hired. He must not have been qualified. But those accusations don't really come into play when Sean Bell gets shot or someone gets accuses a police officer of pulling them over for being black or something. You don't really get that, like, well, they need to raise their standards, or, you know, that it's more like, well, that's supposed to happen. Not that they're saying it should happen, but more like, well, what are you going to do, you know? So I think that's a little bit, I don't know, I found that was a little bit disheartening.
Yeah, it really was, but my thing is, too, is that when you deal with a lot of people, the only view and the only opinion they get of anybody outside of their race or culture is on TV or on the news. They have the assumption that everybody just fits in these boxes when it's not all that cut and dry.
Yeah, definitely. There's just... Whenever you're generalizing and you're looking at things not on a specific level, we all tend to do that. You know, we all tend to just say, well, this is what must have happened, or we want to believe that that's what happened. But I don't know, just thinking about, you know, the local problems we had, and then looking at that broad, you know, that Sean Bell shooting that got so much media attention, it is kind of, you know, weird that so many people just seem to kind of be like, well, that's kind of the breaks, you know. But anyway, moving on. I realized this week when talking about when people were talking about the coverage for like Sarah Palin and the coverage for like some of our sports figures and stuff. I think one of the main problems with the media in general is that everyone in the media kind of wants to be a star too.
Yeah, they got their own agendas.
Yeah, by agendas, I don't mean like left wing, right wing.
No, I mean, it's like that. It's like, yeah, I'm giving you a story, but I'm my own product.
Yeah, they have a brand. Like, yeah. Everybody on your TV station.
It's like talk radio. Yeah, everybody got a brand.
I kind of exempt talk radio because they're not keeping it on the low. Like, Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
Rush Limbaugh sells Rush Limbaugh.
Okay.
You know, Sean Hannity sells Sean Hannity. But there's, like, just your regular news, your anchors, your people on, you know, Channel 3 or whatever. Those people are looking to promote themselves so that they will be a name. And I don't know if it's always been like that or what, but it has kind of hampered a lot of media coverage of stuff because people just rush to give their event, their take on things. People just want to be first
and don't get facts.
Yeah, and so when you look at like trade rumors or something in the NBA, everyone wants to report it first, so it might not be accurate, so they'll just report a rumor, which will get them a lot of attention whether it's right or wrong.
That's true.
So I don't know, I feel like I just felt like bringing that up because that was kind of just a thought that popped in my head this week. You know who I blame? Have you heard the We Are the World, the 25?
No, I seen people tweeting about it, but I hadn't seen the video yet.
Well, the general consensus seems to be that the new We Are the World is just terrible.
Terrible. Yeah, from what I get, everybody says awful.
There's even auto-tunes in it and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing, too. Yeah. I was like, man, this is not worth it.
So, basically, everybody's been blaming, like, oh, this artist or that artist, they're the one that messed it up, or, you know, so-and-so did whatever. You know who's to blame for We Are the World? Us.
Yeah.
People. People who listen to that shit or get the ringtone or watch the video or...
because they got the best... You, when they did it years ago... Let's say they got the top 25 artists, but the top 25 artists years ago is a different crop versus the top 25 artists now.
Yeah, well, they were actually artists. A lot of them knew how to play their own instruments.
That's true.
They knew how to musically compose things. They grew up in, you know, maybe they got their upbringing in the church, or maybe they were just more about a good product and not a good representation. So while a guy like T-Pain mostly makes his money off of being able to sell his image and sell his catchiness and his, you know, just be in everyone's song, really promote himself.
Yeah.
A dude like Stevie Wonder is making his money off of being talented.
That's true.
You know, I wrote this song, yeah. I play this piano, I sing this verse. Whereas you can take auto tunes and make a dog, you know, sound like a person. So basically, you wouldn't have heard Roger and Zapp on the original fucking We Are the World. So the reason it's falling off is because the quality of the music is falling off. Damien, this dude on Twitter, asked me, like, what do I think about the general state of music right now? And I don't actually dislike where music is right now, because you can go out, get it yourself. You have direct access to most artists through the internet.
Yes, you do.
But the real problem is people aren't supporting the art. They aren't spending their money on the art. And I'm guilty of it. Everyone's guilty of it. But if you aren't going to spend your money and let the public, let the media know, let the record companies know and the artists know where you want to hear more music from, it's your fault.
That's true. That's true, because honestly, there are a lot of talented voices out there. And there are a lot of people that really do sing. But a lot of times when you talk about these people, people don't really listen to them, and they don't really dig them unless they're quote-unquote mainstream. And you're not knocking their hustle, but a lot of them don't got talent, and a lot of them just flat can't sing. Let's just keep that real. And that's the thing that people don't want to talk about. But if the beat is hot and I can put it on a 5-second ringtone, that's what you're sending them, that's what you want, so that's why you get this crappy We Are the World.
And do we really need another We Are the World? I mean, it's 2010. And in the days when they did We Are the World, there's no internet.
That's,
you know,
true.
The only way to make people aware of, hey, we need to help these hungry people out, is to put it on a video, put a phone number underneath it, get people to call a call line and pledge some money. We don't need it. Now you got the WhiteHouse.org directing you to the American Red Cross. You got Wyclef Jean directing you to his foundation. You know, every podcast, every radio station is telling you to text your money in on your cell phone.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need We Are the World. I mean, I texted in some money on my cell phone bill, but then I underpaid my bill by $10. So I don't know what they got. I don't know how that works.
You trying to cheat them?
I don't know how that works. I figured the cell phone company would take care of it, but. If they call, I just tell them I didn't mean to donate and see if they'll take it off my bill.
I don't think that's happening, baby.
Well, they said if you don't pay the bill, they don't pay the people in Haiti, so they don't really care. They just want their money.
And that's true now.
They really care. They take that shit out of, you know, my service plan. Anyway, I was talking. Oh, I had this idea, too, and I don't know if it's already been invented. Maybe you know. Is there any such thing as a waffle burger? Well, you take two waffles, like Eggo waffles, and you put some syrup on them, and you put a burger in between them, and you eat it.
No, I've heard of Captain Crunch.
TM, I wanna go ahead and TM that. So if you listen to this podcast, too late, bitch. I invented the waffle burger. Waffle burger invented by Rodimus Prime.
And you know we got to be healthy, so you know they got to be wheat waffles and a turkey burger.
Mm-mm, not eating the waffle burger. It's got to be the worst pot. I'm putting bacon on it. Cheese, syrup.
Are you gonna put it between two Krispy Kreme glazed donuts too?
No, that's gonna be a Luther, which has already been invented. Okay. So don't. I feel like you're not respecting this idea.
I respect your idea. I just want to see you make me one. I'm gonna have him make me one, and next week I will rate it. Got it.
All right, I'll make the waffle burger. You want syrup on your waffle burger or ketchup?
Oh,
all right. Hating in sports. I was talking to my man Key from Atypical Sports on Twitter, and first of all, arguing over the internet has got to be the most it is just the most convoluted way of arguing. There's no way of expressing tone.
It's shouting out hearing each other.
I mean, it's not that you can't hear them. It's just that, like, you can't necessarily understand what somebody's saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to hear the tone of their voice.
Yeah,
and
see their facial expressions.
Yeah, my man Key, he likes to debate a lot. You know, I like to debate, too, somewhat. But I'm not into debate for the sake of, like,
debate.
I'm going to win this debate. You are wrong. I'm more of, it's more, to me, it's more like, can we understand where each other's coming from? In most debates, some debates are literally only one of us can be right. But most times, when you have a debate with somebody, there's a compromise that can be reached if y'all are willing to actually discuss it.
That's true.
So, we were talking about my favorite pastime, talking about Kobe. And he was saying how he dislikes Kobe. And what I did was I sent out a tweet that said, hey, Kobe Bryant, as far as I'm concerned, is he's the player in the NBA right now that wants to win the most.
Yes, he is.
That's my opinion. Yes, I mean, I can't prove it, but when I watch him play,
he has the heart, he has the drive. I mean, he even changed his workout for him aging. You know, he gets up like crazy hours in the morning to exercise and work out and running. And he played in all these Olympics and didn't take no time off. I mean, it's all you can do is sit back for Kobe and say, wow. So when he's taking his time off, I'm not even hating. Take the rest.
Well, it's not. I mean, yeah, definitely. Well, what I was thinking about is like, he's a dude that is about giving 100% in every area, even the areas that I think some of these other players haven't really picked up yet, like the off-the-field stuff. And I don't mean off-the-field like endorsements. I mean off-the-field like, what's the next thing I'm going to be working on so that when, in a year from now when I can't jump as high, I'll have something for them.
That's true.
And I think a lot of these dudes don't. They're so young and they're still trying to prove how good they can be. They haven't really got, like, Kobe's just ahead on his arc. Like, I think players have an arc. You initially you just want to know if you can play on this level. Then you want to know if you can show, you know, you can shine on this level. Then you have a phase where, hey, I want to be the best. And then after that, it's I want to win. Like win it all, not just win the games, but I want to win the whole thing.
That's right.
Kobe's in that I just want to win the whole thing, or else the season was a waste mode. And LeBron, because he's so young, and you know he still does, he can't help that he has opportunity ahead of him. He's gonna be good for a very long time.
Yes, he is.
So I don't know that a dude like, you know, anyway, I don't know that those dudes are at that desperation level yet where they're like, by any means necessary, I have to win. Now, they may be good enough to win anyway.
That's true.
But there's a certain desperation level that I think every player has to get to in order to be the greatest and win it all. Anyway, how this conversation got started is I said that, you know, Kobe wants to win it all. You know, that's all he fucking cares about. That's all he's focused on. And people start sending me stuff like, well, what about that rape trial? I bet he was caring about that in Denver. You know,
what does that have to do with his performance on the court?
Exactly. I don't understand. And I think it's really just me. I really do think it's my way that I look at sports, and that most people cannot understand how I look at sports.
It's like comparing apples to oranges. You're talking about his own the court. What he do external is totally separate. And I think that because Kobe has been presented as this terrible bad guy, people automatically bring that up. But let's say it had been somebody everybody loves, you wouldn't have heard that comment.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that the hatred of athletes, to me, extends on the court. And then off the court, I have this zone of, I don't know this motherfucker. And
yeah.
I feel like
I can separate the two.
I feel like people are suckers. I feel like people are suckers for believing that they know LeBron James
personally,
or Dwayne Wade or whoever because they saw a commercial. They think, I know this dude because he made me laugh with a puppet or whatever. You don't fucking know that dude. I don't know Kobe Bryant. I wouldn't let this nigga in my house. I wouldn't hang out with him. I don't know any athlete. Most athletes by nature are selfish and spoiled. They've never been told no. They've had people cut breaks for them. They're hard workers in that field of athleticism, but maybe not so hard working in things that come easy to them, like getting women or getting money or cutting corners or, you know, having someone take a test for them. So these aren't necessarily good guys to be around. But because some publicists knows how to present their image, you have people falling in love with them to the point where they love or hate a guy, and if you bring up something basketball related, they immediately go to something kind of below the belt and off the field. And that's frustrating to me as a sports fan, because I like sports and I like on the field stuff, and we can talk about off the field stuff, but I'd like to keep that separate. I don't want to say, you know, Tiger Woods is playing, you know, had a good tournament, and you say, well, he cheated on his wife, you know?
Yeah, stuff like that make you mad. Like I said, as a sports fan, when you talking about sports, that's all I want to talk about. And I think that's just the way the genre is now. It's like, oh, no whole bars. I'm a blend. I'm a mix it all together, and you just have to take it like that. But I don't believe that. I think that as far as on the court go, let's talk about that. Off the court, let's talk about it as two separate entities.
And it's funny, too, because those same people can't do that with people they like. Like, if I'm going to hate on players, I can hate on every single player. If I want to like them all, I can like everyone. But I just look at things separately. Like, you would never see somebody go, Kobe Bryant raped that girl, and then turn around and go, LeBron James ain't even married to his mother, his kids, or, you know, he don't shake hands after the game. Like, if they like one dude, then they just got to start making excuses for whatever they did. I'm the kind of person where I was like, I don't make excuses for, he's a man, he fucks up. I don't care about him as a person. But as a player, as a, you know, as the enjoyment I get out of it, that's as far as it goes for me.
That's true.
So, I don't know, but the whole thing was kind of solved by, I just called him on the phone, or I had him call me or something. And it's funny how you get off the internet, you talk on the phone, you can solve shit so much faster.
That's true.
Like, people are just used to talking with almost no compassion, no understanding on the internet.
And you can do that, and so many people do that, because I realize my job has changed, but I used to work with these vendors, and they would send like these emails. Then you talk to them on the phone, they'd be so sweet and nice. I was like, okay, your tone over the email is just a butthole, but when I talk to you, you're a pretty cool person. Sometimes I don't think people don't realize they're annoying. I don't think people realize their tone when they're texting and tweeting.
It's just that I think they don't care. It's like you're not even a person. It's like they're talking to a fucking program. Like, I am not Twitter. I am a person. So you don't really understand or grasp that until you go off the deep end a lot of times.
Okay.
Or, you know, it's what was killing me was that I would say one thing and he would respond to something I didn't say. And kind of make up a response. And it's kind of weird, because it's like, hey, dude, you know I didn't say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've been arguing so much with so many different people about the same subject that you already have, like, a made-up argument in your head to attack them with. And I'm not like those people. I'm different than those people. You talk to people that actually do give a fuck about whether or not he committed rape or he cheated on his wife or whatever. I can keep it on the court and leave it at that. And if you want to talk to me about that, to me, that makes the conversation better. If not, just throwing in all kinds of extraneous shit. Like, well, why did his mom get a Range Rover when he was in high school? Like,
smack.
Yeah, like, who gives a fuck? Anyway, let's move on. We gotta talk about Kobe every week. Michael Jordan might buy the Bobcats. We talked about it a little bit last week, but it's looking like he has 60 days basically to get the money up to buy the team. And, you know, I'm all for him owning the team.
I hope he does. I really do, because I think if it goes in somebody else's hands, I don't think the team will stand Charlotte.
Well, that and we'll lose Larry Brown.
Oh, yeah, definitely we'll lose Larry Brown.
So I'm all for this. And the only problem I have is I think they need to make a reality show out of how MJ is getting this money up. Because he didn't have enough money on his own, so he has to go get investors.
Okay.
So I think they need to have a reality camera following him and Charles Oakley around, betting on shit with random NBA players and rich people trying to get this money so they can buy the team.
It should show them going to Vegas, showing the air trip over there.
Yeah.
Showing them at the parties and the clubs with the bouncers. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I want to see them. I want to see them walk up to, like, Donald Trump. And OJ, Oakley's gonna be holding the OJ, I almost said OJ Simpson.
OJ.
OJ in prison. Ooh, I don't think he's going to roll with Mike, but Oakley's going to be holding the pool cue, and Mike's going to be holding the pool stick, and Mike's going to be like, come on, man, I'll play you some nine ball for $2 million so I can put some money on this team. Walking up the Larry Bird, like, remember, you owe me, you know, $8 million for that shootout. I'm here to collect, so I'm ready to see that reality show.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah, so
what would the name of it be?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Oakley and Jordan. I don't know. Well, I guess Jordan will come first, though. So, because Oakley is kind of like the Memphis Bleak of Michael Jordan, where Memphis Bleak to Jay-Z is kind of like Oakley to Jordan. Like, they hang out and shit, but they're not really in the same class, and everybody knows Jordan doing him a favor by letting them hang out. Alright, so let's see. Oh, I watched this movie called Chocolate. It's a movie about a little girl who's like autistic or something, but she's able to grasp like how to do kung fu, and she has to go collect money for her sick mom so that she can pay her hospital bills. And forget the movie, I'm not finished watching it yet, but it just made me think that autism in Hollywood is like a superpower. Like in real life and everywhere else, it's debilitating, but in Hollywood, some writer or somebody has decided that when you get autism, you have the ability to like gamble in Vegas and win, or you know, now you become the best basketball player of all time.
Yeah, they must not really have anybody around there with autism, because if you really got autism, the last thing you want to do is be around people.
Yeah, I don't know how autism works exactly, but I do know that you shouldn't be able to fight like Bruce Lee just because you're autistic and you watched a kung fu movie once. But it's kind of lazy writing, but I thought that was funny. Chris Chan recommended that movie to me, but I'm not done with it, so I'm not shitting on your choice yet, Chan, but this autism thing, man, it's a little far-fetched is all I'm saying, bro. A little far-fetched. Speaking of friends, my white friend of the week is Derek.
So, shouts out to Derek.
Yeah, my first official nomination for white friend of the week.
Alright.
You won, buddy. Keep it up. Good job. We had a good talk about the NCAA and how they don't pay players. And I think he wants to come on the podcast and kind of talk about it. Maybe debate it out. I'm not really interested in debating it because I think it's kind of a moral thing, not really a legal thing. I mean, the NCAA and the NFL kind of get to make the rules, so you do what the fuck they tell you to do. But, you know, is it morally right not to pay him? I don't know. But he had a really good idea. I don't want to give it away and ruin the podcast, but he had a really good idea on how we can compromise. And I'd be happy with the compromise, and I want him to present the idea to you guys and see if you guys, what do you think about it? Would y'all be happy with this compromise about a way to kind of protect the players from, you know, being the only losers in going to college, possibly? Let's talk about All-Star Weekend.
Okay.
It's my favorite time of the year, just about.
Yes, sir.
And I just wrote down a couple notes. I don't really want to talk too much about it, but there was a lady that got kicked out for harassing Kobe Bryant for not playing in the All-Star game because he was hurt with a sprained ankle and he couldn't play.
Yeah, and a jacked up finger. I mean, come on.
Yeah, her seat cost $8,000.
Good God.
So he was out there signing autographs for fans, which seems like a nice thing to do if you're not going to play. And she decided to say, hey, get your ass out there on the court. So she got kicked out on Valentine's Day. What I want to know is, who is the nigga that paid for them seats?
For her to show her tail and get put out.
Because as much as I love you, if you get kicked out with an $8,000 ticket, that's, we just got divorced.
Say that again. Same thing goes for you, buddy.
$8,000 is a little too much.
That's too steep. You better shut the hell up and watch the game, girl.
That's the problem with Valentine's Day, because a lot of these holidays have become just for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of attitude that makes you think, I'm going to tell this motherfucker Kobe Bryant by himself and get kicked out. And now I'm sitting there like, do I gotta leave the game early? It's only halftime.
And I'm not here to debate. I'm gonna tell you right now, if I love you, but you get kicked out, you're gonna be sitting down in the damn car waiting on me. I'm watching the rest of the damn game. $8,000
for $8,000,
and it's $25 for the hot dogs. Oh, you outside in the cold, but yeah,
they better send you to prison for $8,000 because I don't even want to see you.
For a while. Nah, yeah. You had just had your stuff all packed up.
Not to mention, I'm sure he probably was like, I'm going to take my baby down here for All-Star Weekend. We're going to go to the Biz Markie party or the Michael Vick and Allen Iverson, Steven Jackson party. And then we're going to get shot. Then we're going to go on out to the game on Sunday.
And have us a good time,
girl. And then she just threw that $8,000. She might as well just ripped up $8,000 and threw it back in his face.
Set it on fire, dog.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you should beat her or anything, but
I can see you getting angry enough to.
I'm not
trying to say you should put your hands on her.
Yeah.
But that's about a quarter of somebody's salary for the whole year.
Yeah, this Shaq, and then Shaq versus Dwight Howard. This has got to be the most overblown bullshit. You are two grown ass men, and you're arguing over Superman. Who gets to be Superman? What is this, a Halloween costume party? Who gets to be Superman? Are y'all playing toys?
Are my tights tighter?
Yeah. Are y'all playing toys in the back room? And y'all trying to pick who's the good guy? You are two grown ass fucking men. It's even worse for Shaq because he's a real grown ass man.
Yeah.
And he should really be beyond caring. And I know he spent a lot of money to put like Superman emblems in his car and his house. Well, guess what? It's Superman, dude. It's a cartoon. You are tripping over a cartoon character. No one thinks you're really Superman.
I don't know.
You know, if you're so Superman, why did you play Steel in that movie? Why didn't you try to play Superman instead of that shitty ass movie you put out, man? I can't really get down with that shit. It is pathetic that he actually talked shit about Dwight Howard because of the Superman thing. And I think Dwight Howard's kind of a sucker because the people in the actual franchise and the media kind of want him to be Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Because they want to slight Shaq because they drafted Shaq in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
And he rose to prominence there. But he moved to L.A. because he didn't want to be there anymore. And L.A. is a bigger market and all that shit. He could be in movies. He moved to L.A. He became Superman, quote unquote, in L.A. And then they drafted Dwight Howard years later, who's supposed to be the next Shaq. And I think they wanted to make Shaq jealous, because he's a petty, jealous person that will actually get mad over this shit. And they wanted to be like, hey, man, now we got Superman. Ha ha, bitch. And Dwight's so dumb. Dwight's so dumb that he probably really was like, yeah, man, I'm Superman. I'm going to make the Superman commercials. People like me. And he's not even really thinking about Shaq. It's not intentionally to slight Shaq.
No, it's not.
But, of course, Shaq had to say something because he's a petty diva, you know. He's like most guys. He has an ego. And so he had to say something to Dwight Howard.
Okay.
So he says this shit. And, I mean, I'm not even disappointed in Shaq because I expect this kind of shit from him. But it's worse on him because he's older. Like,
that's right.
Dude, you got fucking kids. What do you care about being Superman? No one really calls you Superman. They call you the Diesel, Shaq this.
Yeah.
I mean, when
the last time somebody even called you Superman?
Yeah, the big Aristotle. Man. Dude, chill the fuck out. No one really cares. Just play 20 minutes a game for LeBron. And when y'all win the title, act like you're the only reason they won. And then chill the fuck out, man. So I don't know. But I did think Dwight's apology was really sincere.
I do too.
And it was cool that he was able to put his ego aside. Because you knew Shaq wasn't going to.
Oh, no.
So it was kind of cool that he handled that shit like a man, as far as like, hey, man, I didn't mean for you to get offended. My bad. And just back down. Because honestly, why argue over Superman?
Say that again.
Really. Like, a fucking 20-something-year-old basically out-matured Shaq. That's ridiculous. Let's talk about some of these trade rumors. No. Let's talk about some Twitter questions.
Okay.
The Till Show, at The Till Show, T-I-L-L, he asked me, why have the Nets been beating the Bobcats twice? Yeah.
Yes, that's nerve. ranking.
We account for 40% of the Nets wins this year.
Yes, we do. Terrible.
I don't know, man. Basketball is all about matchups. Wildcats are the only team to beat Cleveland at home and on the road. Do I think we're better than Cleveland? No. But we just match up in the right places to where somehow we're able to make it difficult for them to beat us. It's very weird. We beat L.A. a lot. I don't know why. Just the shit happens. I see it on the court, and I'm amazed every time.
Me too.
So last night when the Nets were beating the Bobcats, I was watching it like, what the fuck is this? Anyway, Nathan Bacon asked, who do you think will be the Eagles starting quarterback? Donovan McNabb. The only black men that have their jobs questioned this much are basically Barack Obama and Donovan McNabb.
Yes.
Those are the only dudes that are constantly harassed about their job status on just a daily
every
basis.
Every year. And it's sad, though. It's like people falling around. You're going to lose your job, dog. You're going to lose your job. They're going to get rid of you. They're going to get rid of you.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, the coach endorses them. The owner endorses them. It doesn't matter. Every fucking day, you got some new news reporter trying to be a star, saying he's going to be the one that predicted McNabb is going. Just once in my life, I would love for SportsCenter to collect a greatest clips of all of, like, Merrill Hodge and all these cats, man, just predicting Donovan McNabb will be traded for, like, the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been in the league, like, 10 years, 13 years or something. Why, can we just get a recap of every single time somebody's been like, and look on the trading block for McNabb, and just show them, like, you know, their hair changing, like, show their hair getting gray and growing beards, cutting beards off, getting glasses, getting contacts.
Oh, yeah, goatees. Yeah.
Because it's the same shit every year. I'm so used to it by now. I won't believe anything until Donovan McNabb is throwing a pass in the net, in the other uniform. Then I'll know they traded him. LT555, I think that's his name. He wants to talk about NFL free agents. Man, there is a lot of free agents. I'll go with a couple that I know off the top of my head. There's LT, who is supposed to be a free agent. Not really in love with LT.
Me neither.
I think he was better when he had better blocking. I don't know where he can go to a situation where they need a running back and they already have a good offensive line.
That's true.
So he's probably fucked wherever he goes.
Yep. He'd be better off retiring, truth be told.
Yeah, quarterback, there's Jason Campbell, I think, is a little bit interesting. I just want to see if he's broken.
Because he's
been sacked so much,
and his offensive coordinator keeps changing. He don't have no stability.
Yeah, I just want to see if dude is broken or not. Like, is his internal clock gonna still count? Okay, it's been 3 seconds, or is he gonna be like David Carr when David Carr came to Carolina and everybody found out?
He was trash.
Yeah, this dude apparently doesn't understand. You got 3 seconds to get rid of the ball. Running back wise, there's Leon Washington, who like broke his leg, and Willie Parker's a free agent. I didn't know that, but he's 29, so, and he's small, and they really haven't been doing much with him anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Pierre Thomas is up, but you know he's gonna probably get signed back to the Saints.
Of course.
Ronnie Brown is up. I don't know, man. Dude keeps getting hurt, man. He's another huge injury. I mean, I wouldn't pay him, I mean, but who knows? Maybe he'd come back again. I don't really see anybody else. Mike Bell, meh. Maybe with Mike Bell and Pierre Thomas being up for free agency, maybe Reggie Bush gets dealt or gets cut or something. I don't know. Nobody else really interested in running backs. I'm only doing like wide receiver, offensive shit. I'm not doing defense. Although Julius Peppers is probably number one dude.
Yeah, and I think he's gonna be gone. And I would love for him to stay in Charlotte, but I think he's gone.
Yeah, me too.
That's heartbreaking. We're gonna be terrible.
T.O.'s a free agent, but he's 36. I don't know where he's going.
Me either.
Vincent Jackson, I don't really like him that much. A lot of people really love him, but he's got to be the most inconsistent motherfucker in the league. I've had him on my fantasy team. Anyone that's had him on your fantasy team, you know what I'm talking about. He'll come out and get 150 yards 1 week, And the next week, it's like he forgot to play. So, that's not a big deal. Miles Austin, he's free agent, but he's restricted. Cowboys will definitely re-sign him.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon Marshall's restricted, so he's coming back. I don't see anybody really interesting. Steve Preston, I don't know. Not a lot of people that I'm interested in as far as free agents do. So, I don't know what to tell you, but I did look at it, so... Alright, Shirley Wong Esquire. She sent a question. She wants to know what I think about Nate Robinson being traded for Eddie House. Nate Robinson is a bigger star than he should be because he's short. He's winning the dunk contest.
He's strong.
And the reason he's winning the dunk contest is because his job is to win the dunk contest. While all these other players are thinking, like, what can I do to help my team win? Well, I need to work on my jumper. I need to work on my passing. I need to work on my defense. Nate Robinson is sitting around somewhere like, should I get the cheerleaders to come out and shake the pom-poms when I do my reverse dunk? You know, like, he's a dunk contest artist. And to me, you really can't get too ahead of yourself with that dude.
No.
Oh, and speaking of free agents, Dante Stallworth just signed a one-year deal with the Ravens.
Wow.
Who would have thought that he would have been the first free agent signed? A dude that just came out of prison. I mean, it's just proof that if you know how to cooperate with the system,
that's right,
instead of trying to do what Plaxico did and fight it, or Vic did and lie and fight, you can actually come out a lot better.
Yes, you can.
Than actually trying to go in there and say, you can't put me on trial, put the system on trial, and next thing you know, you playing locked up by Akon. So,
say that again.
Anyway, somehow Stallworth finagled a deal out of fresh off of house arrest.
Wow. Yeah. And you'll never hear about that story again.
Yeah, he probably still. Well, you hear about it through the games, but he getting paid. He don't give a fuck.
That's true.
I mean, he still got the tan lines around his ankle from the brace. Probably from the
like
from
your
the,
socks and two tone.
Yeah, but he don't care, man. Dude's getting paid to play
get
football.
Paid,
yeah.
Brother, get paid. Like that kicker that got paid all that money. I think he getting paid like $9 million up front. I don't blame you. And all you do is kick the ball. Pay me that. I kick the ball too.
Yeah, I can't hate. I don't hate on anybody for getting
paid
what they get
at their job.
I don't feel. Yeah, you get what you can get. If they're willing to pay you, you take it.
Because I know I am.
My man Witness on Twitter, he asked me what I think about the Cavs getting Jameson, and did it make the Lakers go pee-pee in their undies? I don't know. I don't know that Jameson's that scary to the Lakers front line because the Lakers have 3 7-footers. So I don't know that Jameson can just score at will on Gasol, Bynum, and Lamar Odom. But... and Jameson shoots a little too many threes, in my opinion. But I do like that they're trying to get the team better.
Yes.
It does give them a shot in the East. I mean,
yes, it
if
does.
Not the favorite in the East at
True.
This point. You know?
True, than in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, I still think people are sleeping on Boston because Boston is all about health. Now,
yeah.
they are old, okay? But if there's any chance that they can come into the playoffs healthy... They can be a problem because
a banged up
Boston team took Orlando and
the Bulls
to like game 7
yes,
if I'm not
they
mistaken.
Did.
And that's with a bunch of injuries.
I
mean, y'all cold.
Think the one
Kevin
with the Bulls had like the most overtimes.
Yeah, so yeah. This is a fighting team. If they still have some fight left in them and with the addition of Nate Robinson, slam dunk champion 3 times over.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, I don't think Nate's going to be that big deal. But with that, you know, they might have a problem with Boston. I don't think Orlando's even a problem for them anymore because all the moves they made have kind of been to counter what Orlando does well. So they got some wing defenders that can get out there on their shooters. And I think they're better than Orlando at this point. Until Dwight Howard gets a post move. I'm going to have to put the Cavs ahead of him unless somebody gets hurt.
That's true.
So, I like that move, though, because it does make the Cavs better. And, you know, if everything goes right, they should be coming out of the East, and we get to see possibly Kobe versus LeBron. And That would be some good TV right there.
Yes, that would.
Chicago Bulls traded my man John Salmons. That's my dude because he has the best legs game in the NBA. John Salmons don't even look like he work out. He just
he has that old man game. He just show up to the clutch.
Yeah, John Salmons got the laziest. Him and Paul Pierce got the laziest looking game.
Yeah, Paul Pierce do too. Paul Pierce sometimes, man, he look like he just finished eating Bojangles chicken and just had a white t-shirt on and just put on a uniform and just walked down and said, well, I show y'all old boys how to do this thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, where you come from, old man?
Yeah, they probably drank Kool-Aid instead of Gatorade on the sideline because they both got the lazy game.
They mess around and shock you when they start shooting, but before that, you won't even take them seriously.
Yeah, and I don't know who all they got. It looks like Kurt Thomas and Francisco Elson who have expiring contracts, so they basically got rid of John Salmons for nothing. Not really sure what Chicago's thinking. Maybe they just want to give up some money or something. I don't get this move for them. But whatever. Maybe they got another move coming. Maybe they're going to get T-Mac or something. Darko Milicic, the guy who was picked ahead of Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony.
Wow.
By Joe Dumars, the greatest GM of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Darko Milicic is going to the T-Wolves for Brian Cardinal. This is just a trade that I really don't care about.
Me either.
So, I don't know. But, I mean, the T-Wolves have been playing better. Maybe they need a center. He wasn't really playing much for the Knicks. And the Knicks will save like $1.8 million. I don't. They're just all about saving money at this time. The Knicks just don't
care. Yeah, they got a pie sale going on.
Yeah, Nate
Everything,
Robinson.
Everything, 50% off. Come get it.
I mean, they traded their own mascot, Nate Robinson, so.
That's true.
So, that's about it for this podcast. You got anything else you want to add? Anything you want to talk about?
Mm-mm.
All right, well, looks like we're out, guys. Thank you for supporting the podcast.
Yeah, we love y'all. And thank you for the support and the emails and the retweeting, because we do read that stuff, guys, and it makes us feel good to know that people are actually listening, and they're listening all the way through.
Yeah, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, at Rodimus Prime, and
I'm Y00227, the letter Y.
All right, so thanks for listening to the Black Guy Tips podcast.
Thanks, guys.
We out. Love you.
Love you, too. Mwah.